Eddie, the Junior Year. Chapter 7. Summer Break, Part 1. Summer vacation is special this year for Kathy and Paula. They have both graduated and never really have to go to school again if they didn't want to. But they both like gym class, physical education, and sports. And that is what they will be studying in college, making it more fun than work. Kathy still has her summer job. Along with Paula, they will be both teaching gym class in the mornings at the summer day camp where they have worked for the last 2 years. Eddie will be also working during the summer cutting lawns, maintaining pools, and doing odd jobs. Mark will be again working with his father. Teaching gym class at the summer day camp involves organizing kickball and softball games for the kids. On a really warm day, class activities might involve taking the kids to the county pool. On a rainy day, basketball or volleyball played inside keeps the kids busy. And there is always that all-day field trip to the beach once or twice during the summer. As a summer camp gym teacher, you play the role of gym teacher, school nurse, psychologist, babysitter, and referee all at once. But Kathy and Paula really enjoy it. One afternoon, the week after graduation, Paula decides to check in with Angelo again. She hopes to find out whether Angelo has found a car for her yet, or whether the Jeep CJ that Vinny was expecting has arrived. Paula is going to have to do something real soon because she can't ride her bicycle to college every day, especially when it rains. So, she rides her bicycle to Angelo's, who she finds is just finishing up lunch. Paula walks in and asks Angelo, "Hey, do you remember me? I'm back again." Angelo replies, "Yeah. How can I forget you? You're the Jeep girl." Paula replies, "Yeah, that's me. The Jeep girl." Angelo asks, "Did you find anything yet?" Paula replies, "Yeah, sort of. But everything is out of my price range, so I keep looking. I suppose you hear that a lot from college students." Angelo replies, "Actually, quite a lot. But most of the time that I hear it is the week before they go away to college. You're smart. You're starting to look early." Angelo tells Paula to have a seat. He gives her a pad and pen and tells her, "You'll need to take some notes." Paula, who just graduated, feels like she is back in school again. School just ended, and Paula is now told to take notes. Angelo tells Paula, "You're in luck. Vinny just got that CJ that I told you about come into his shop last week. It's still there. I haven't been over there to see what exactly happened to it, but I know the vehicle. The drivetrain and everything else mechanical is in perfect condition. I maintained it myself for the owner, so I know." Paula, who is overwhelmed, asks, "So, what do I do?" Angelo replies, "Go over to Vinny's and take a look at it. If you want it, tell Vinny to buy it from the insurance company for you and have him retitle it." Paula asks, "Then what?" Angelo explains to Paula, "Then, you go down to the Jeep yard on Sunrise Highway. Pick out any replacement parts for those that are damaged and have Vinny put them on for you. They must have a few hundred Jeeps down there." Paula, who is taking notes, asks, "Where is the Jeep yard?" Angelo replies, "It's about 10 miles east from Malia's place, where Kathy got her Porsche." Angelo tells Paula, "So, you get the Jeep, install the new parts, and drive away." Angelo makes everything sound so easy. That's because what Angelo just described is quite an easy job if you're a mechanic. Paula tells Angelo, "Wow. Okay. This is a lot." Angelo tells Paula, "Get Eddie to help you with it. He'll know exactly what to do." Paula asks Angelo, "What exactly is the Jeep yard anyway?" Angelo explains, "It's a junkyard. They buy Jeeps that have been totaled or don't run and sell the parts. It's a big market. They would love to get their hands on the one in Vinny's shop. You'll have to beat them to it." Angelo tells Paula, "Let me make a call." Angelo makes a quick call to Rocky, the owner of the Jeep yard, to find out the price of a CJ body, which is the worst-case scenario that Paula could expect. Angelo specifies that it must be in near-perfect condition. Rocky gives Angelo a range of what the body will cost. Angelo tells Paula what the approximate salvage value of the CJ at Vinny's is, and the cost of the body. Paula is very surprised, and tells Angelo, "Okay. So, I'd better get moving on this now." Angelo agrees, telling Paula, "Go talk to Vinny now. He's across the street. I'll call him and tell him you're on your way." Paula thanks Angelo, and rides her bicycle across the street. Paula rides her bicycle into the parking lot of Vinny's body shop, where Vinny comes out to greet her. In his Italian accent, Vinny asks, "So, you're the Jeep girl?" Paula replies, "Yeah, that would be me. The Jeep girl." Paula is now known at that intersection as the Jeep girl. Vinny tells Paula, "Angelo told me you were on your way. I suppose you want to see it. It's in the back. Come with me, and I'll show it to you." Paula and Vinny walk to the back, where there is a parking lot of mangled up vehicles that look like they were haphazardly dropped there by a tornado. Seeing the condition of the cars parked in the lot, Paula is prepared for the worst. They come up to the Jeep, which is a light shade of blue. Paula, who is very surprised, asks Vinny, "I thought it was totaled. What's up with it?" Vinny explains, "It is totaled." Paula asks, "How is it totaled?" "It doesn't look too bad to me." Vinny tells Paula, "Trust me. This Jeep is totaled. I did the estimate myself." Vinny explains to Paula, "It's like this. The owner drove it through a hailstorm. The hood and front fenders are all slightly dinged. You have to replace the hood. You just can't put Bondo on a hood. And the radiator has to be replaced because the hail damaged it. It has a very small leak, but the guy kept putting water in it so he can drive it around. The windshield is also cracked from the hail. And the vinyl side and rear windows are a little marred from the hail and have to be replaced. If you add all of that up and a bunch of other little things, it's totaled." Looking at her notes, Paula tells Vinny, "Angelo tells me I should buy it from the insurance company." Vinny tells Paula, "You should. It's in really good shape." Paula is confused. "The Jeep is totaled, but it's in good shape. That just doesn't make any sense to her." To Paula, a totaled car is one that looks like the person driving it may not have survived. Vinny sees that Paula is confused, so she tells Paula, "Come inside for a second, and we'll talk." Paula follows Vinny into the office. Vinny calls Angelo on the phone, as Paula takes a seat in the only 300 square feet of air-conditioned space around. Vinny tells Angelo, "Hey, I got the Jeep girl here." Paula thinks to herself that she has just earned a new title that will probably follow her around for a while. Vinny asks Angelo, "Can I tell her the story behind the CJ?" Paula wonders what in the world they are talking about. Vinny then tells Angelo, "Good. So, it's safe. Thanks." Now, Paula is really wondering what is going on. This is not how things usually happen in an auto dealership. Paula never heard this kind of talk when her parents bought a car. Paula gets the impression that she is trying to buy a Jeep under the table on the black market. Vinny, however, was just making sure it was safe to tell Paula the real story behind how and why the Jeep was totaled. Vinny tells Paula, "Okay, so it's like this. The owner of the Jeep is moving across country in a week or so. After he got stuck in the hailstorm, he didn't want the Jeep back, so I totaled it for him." Paula asks, "How do you do that?" Vinny explains, "I found every last little thing that was even remotely damaged by the hail and put it on the estimate. It all added up really fast. For example, the chrome around the headlights has a few slight dings from the hail. And the paint on the bumper is slightly marred, so technically it has to be sanded and painted. So, the insurance company gets the Jeep, and the owner gets the check. Come on back, and we'll take another look at it. Vinny gets the key, and they walk back to take another look at the Jeep. Paula is now beginning to understand what is going on. Vinny and Paula walk back to the Jeep. Vinny points out all of the insignificant issues that caused the Jeep to be totaled. Paula can see that, if you add all of the items up, it might cost a lot to fix, but none of them really matter too much at all. Vinny tells Paula that the only things that really need to be done are to replace the windshield and replace the radiator, which he can do for her. Vinny also tells Paula that she could buy a hood from the junkyard, and he could paint it and put it on for her. Now realizing that the Jeep might be a good deal, Paula tells Vinny, "Okay, I think I want it. Can I have Eddie come look at it with me?" Vinny tells Paula, "Sure. Bring him by. And if you want it, I'll just buy it back for scrap value from the insurance company." Paula asks, "How much is that?" Vinny replies, $200 at most. The scrap value is what they'll sell it to the junkyard for. Hearing that, Paula tells Vinny, "Okay, I'll be back like real fast." Paula thanks Vinny and rides her bicycle as fast as she can to Eddie's house, hoping that he is there. Paula arrives at Eddie's, finding Kathy there with him. Eddie is tinkering with his MGB as he and Kathy discuss what they are going to do in the afternoon. When Paula rides up, Eddie says, "Oh, good. The second shift has arrived. Now we can go to the pool." Paula's mind is racing, trying to keep up with her body, as she is trying to make a decision that she is having trouble with because she is stressed. She can't let a good deal pass, especially since there is no other deal on the horizon. Almost in a panic, Paula tells Eddie, "I found a Jeep." Actually, Angelo found it. Angelo worked on it, so he said it runs good. But it's totaled. But it's really not that totaled, and it needs some work. But it's in really good shape. I wrote it down. It's here somewhere. It's at Vinny's. Jeesh. Where is that paper? Oh, here it is. Kathy tells Paula, "Whoa. Slow down, girl. Let's take this from the beginning. Breathe." Right now, Paula has enough adrenaline flowing through her body to beat Mark in the 220-yard dash. Paula calms down a little, and Kathy asks, "Okay, so you found a Jeep?" Paula replies, "Yeah. It's at Vinny's, across the street from Angelo's." Kathy replies, "Okay, good. What's up right now?" Paula replies, "I want Eddie to take a look at it." Eddie replies, "Okay. We can go over there and do that." Paula tells Eddie, "Angelo said he worked on it, and it's in good shape." Kathy asks, "And you just came from there?" Paula, who is overwhelmed and almost to tears, replies, "Yeah. Can you guys come look at it with me?" Kathy gives Paula a hug and tells her, "Sure, we'll come look." They all ride their bicycles to Vinny's together, riding a little slower than when Paula raced to Eddie's house. Paula is under the impression that, if she doesn't move quickly, she'll never get her Jeep. She would hate to be stuck driving a four-door sedan. That's just not her style. When they arrive, Vinny is working in the shop. Eddie has met Vinny many times in the past and walks right in as if he owns the place. The girls wait in the front parking lot. Vinny yells out from the shop, "Hey, Eddie. The Jeep girl said she was going to get you. That was fast." Eddie replies, "Yeah. She wanted me to take a look at it." They are out in front, waiting. Vinny stops what he is doing and gets the key. Vinny and Eddie walk out of the shop, and Kathy and Paula follow them back to the Jeep. On the walk to the back, Paula begins to calm down some more. When they get to the back, Vinny announces, "Well, here it is." He unlocks the doors so they can all take a look. Kathy and Paula look at the inside, while Eddie and Vinny talk about what needs to be done. Kathy tells Paula, "Wow, that's really a beautiful color." Kathy and Paula sit inside, looking at the details of the interior. Kathy tells Paula, "It's perfect. It has four seats. You can drive us all to the beach." Paula replies, "Yeah, I know. That's part of the plan." While the girls are talking, Vinny explains to Eddie, "It was caught in a hailstorm. The owner wanted me to total it, so I did. I can replace the windshield for her. The radiator got slightly damaged by driving into the hail, so it needs to be replaced. I can do that too. Other than that, it's mostly minor cosmetic issues." Eddie asks, "How did you manage to total it?" Vinny explains, "The owner is moving across country. Instead of having it repaired and having it transported, he'd rather have the insurance check and buy a new one when he gets there. I found every last little scratch and ding on it from the hail and put it on the estimate. It all added up real fast. The insurance estimator couldn't argue with it. So, technically it's totaled, but it's in really good shape." Eddie takes a look at the Jeep, finding it to be in really great condition. Paula and Kathy get out of the Jeep and take a look at the outside. Vinny tells Paula, "If you want it, let me know. I'll buy it back from the insurance company." Paula asks Eddie, "What do I do?" Eddie replies, "Buy it." Eddie doesn't have to think about this too much. He knows a good deal when he sees it. Paula asks Vinny, "Okay, so now what do I do?" Vinny explains to Paula, "I'll buy it from the insurance company and retitle it. It will save them the trouble of towing it away, paying my storage fees, and unloading it. Trust me. They'll be happy for me to buy it. It will have a salvage title, which is hard to get, but I can do that. Then, after that, it's yours." Paula asks, "What's a salvage title?" Vinny explains, "If a car is totaled, it may need to be inspected to make sure it's safe to drive. Once it's determined to be safe, they issue the title." "I can take care of that." "No problem. Hail damage does not make a car unsafe to drive." Paula is really happy that she's actually going to get a Jeep CJ. It's the vehicle that she's always wanted, ever since she was a kid. Paula asks Vinny if he can paint Beach Patrol on the doors. Vinny tells her that he can paint anything she wants on it. Paula asks if the words can be painted in a circular pattern, where the word beach is on the top and the word patrol is on the bottom. Vinny assures her that he can do that for her and that it will look good. Paula also wants a small yellow sun painted on the hood in the front. Vinny tells her that he can do that as well, but suggests that she wait until she gets the Jeep before she starts making all these decisions. Vinny has Paula write her name and phone number on a piece of paper. Paula hands the paper to Vinny, who writes "Jeep Girl" in large letters on the top of the paper. Paula is now totally convinced she'll never lose that title, but she figures it's better to be known as the Jeep Girl than having to ride her bicycle or walk everywhere she goes. Vinny tells Paula that it could take a few weeks and not to worry. Vinny also tells Paula to check back in a week to see how everything is moving along. Paula thanks Vinny again, and they all ride back to Eddie's house. When they get to Eddie's house, Eddie asks Paula, "So, where's Mark today?" Paula tells Eddie, "He's working with his father on a job today, so I thought I'd ride to Angelo's to see if he found anything for me." Kathy mentions, "Well, it looks like Angelo found something." Paula replies, "Yeah. But I was panicking. I didn't know what to do." Kathy tells Paula, "That's why you have us." Paula sighs and says, "Yeah." Eddie mentions, "Well, it sounds like your Jeep is on its way." Paula, who is still a little bit stressed, throws out the question, "But what if something goes wrong? What do I do?" Eddie tells Paula, "That's not how these guys work. Nothing will go wrong." Paula asks Eddie, "How can you be so sure?" Eddie replies, because they are on your side. They are not like Mr. O'Brien or Mr. Crumb. Angelo and Vinny are not your enemies. They are there to help you. Kathy tells Paula, I've seen it myself. When I was trying to get the 914, I was overwhelmed too. But that's what these guys do. They make things happen, and make them happen fast. Kathy goes on to tell Paula, when I got my 914, Eddie and Angelo took out the motor. They made it look so easy. Eddie took the motor apart, and the parts were laying all over the workbench. Some of the parts were even lying on the floor. And Eddie found the valve that was broken, and we got the new parts and he put them in. I was wondering if he would ever get the engine back together again. By the end of the day, the motor was back in the car, and the car ran. And when I went to bed that night, I kept looking out my window at my car in the driveway, making sure that it was for real and that I wasn't dreaming. Paula tells Kathy, wow. That must have been some day. Kathy sighs and replies, yeah, it was. It really was. Kathy then tells Paula, what I remember most about that day is when Eddie said, I've never heard Angelo be this quiet before. Then, I asked Eddie, how can you hear someone being quiet? Paula laughs and says, that is kind of funny. Paula is now more confident that Vinny will deliver what he says he will. Unfortunately, paperwork is the only thing stopping Paula from driving the Jeep home today. Paula will just have to wait. But Paula can't wait. She wants to know, and she wants to know now. So Paula comes up with an idea. Paula tells Eddie and Kathy that she wants to ride to the portal and go 2 months into the future to see if she can find out if she got the Jeep. Hopefully, she will see the Jeep in her driveway. Eddie and Kathy decide to go with her, so they head to the portal together to find out. When they all arrive at the portal, Kathy asks, so, where and when are we going? Paula thinks for a moment and asks Kathy, what happens if I get there and I'm not home? Kathy replies, then, you come right back to here, and you'll be all upset. Paula replies, darn. That's right. But that is a chance Paula is willing to take. Eddie, remembering that he went to the future in the middle of the night once, suggests, why not pick 3 a.m.? Paula exclaims, yeah, that would work. I should be home at 3 a.m. Paula takes herself, Eddie, and Kathy 2 months into the future, at 3 a.m. They immediately arrive to the future, and Paula mentions, hey, it's dark. Kathy replies, well, duh. It's 3 a.m. Paula utters, oh, yeah. It's night. It's supposed to be dark. Kathy, yanking Paula's chain, asks her, wait a second. How do you know it's not a total eclipse of the sun? Paula replies, then, how do you know the sun didn't like just burn out? Kathy tells Paula, maybe it did. So then, you won't need a Jeep, now will you? You'll need a dog sled, because we'll have another ice age. Kathy and Paula often talk with each other in this way. They then ride in the direction of Paula's house. On the way, they pass Mark's house. Passing the intersection at Angelo's and Vinny's, they turn right. The roads are all deserted, but that is to be expected in the middle of the night. When they get to Paula's street, they turn left. Paula stops, because she is now having second thoughts about taking a look. Paula tells Kathy, okay. So now, I don't know if I want to know. Kathy tells Paula, okay then. We'll stay here and Eddie can go and look. Paula says, oh, I just don't know. What if I find a broken down clunker at my house? Or worse. What if there's a four-door sedan? Eddie tells Kathy and Paula, you guys talk about it. I'm going to take a look anyway. Eddie rides off to Paula's house. Kathy and Paula talk for a moment and then ride to Paula's house. They figure they'll find out from Eddie what's in the driveway anyway, so they might as well find out firsthand. Eddie comes up to Paula's house and sees Paula's Jeep CJ in the driveway. When Paula sees her Jeep come into view, she exclaims, "I got it. I got it. I got it." Paula rides into her driveway and looks at the Jeep under the moonlight. Paula sees the words Beach Patrol painted on each door. And, just like she wanted, there is a golden sun painted on the hood. Kathy and Eddie also take a look. Eddie mentions, "It looks really good from what I can see." Paula sees that the cracked windshield has been repaired, and the Jeep is nice and clean. Paula is now very excited. It's not only Paula who is excited. The police officer that just stopped to question them is excited as well. The officer thinks he has come across a few vandals who might be trying to steal the Jeep or break into it. The spotlight shines on Paula, Eddie, and Kathy. The officer gets out of his car and approaches the Jeep and the three perpetrators. Kathy whispers to Eddie, "Oh crap. We're busted." Eddie asks, "For what?" "It's her Jeep." Kathy replies, "Oh, yeah. That's right." Paula, hearing what Eddie just told Kathy, just figured out how to get herself out of this. The officer, Officer Richard Hayes, asks the group, "How come you characters are out at 3:22 a.m. looking at a Jeep in someone's front yard?" "Go ahead. I'm listening." Paula tells the officer, "It's my Jeep." Not quite believing Paula, the officer replies, "Oh, really?" Paula tells him, "Yeah. I live here." The officer asks Paula, "Can you prove that?" Paula wants to get rid of the officer as quickly as possible, in case her parents wake up and realize something is going on outside. Paula replies, "Yeah. Here's my license," as she hands the officer her driver's license. Paula is hoping for the best. The officer checks the address on Paula's driver's license with the house address and tells her, "Okay, it looks like you check out." Officer Hayes takes a closer look at the Jeep and exclaims, "Oh wait. You're the Jeep girl." Now recognizing Kathy, Eddie, and Paula, the officer asks, "What are you guys doing out here in the middle of the night?" Kathy replies, "We were all out riding our bicycles, and we just wanted to make sure the Jeep girl got home safe." The officer recognizes Kathy and mentions to her, "Yeah, and you're the pizza girl." Kathy recognizes the officer from the night at the pizzeria when Paul Mahoney made a scene and ran down the street, nearly causing an accident. Kathy replies, "Yeah, that's me. The pizza girl." Paula asks the officer, "So, I'm the Jeep girl?" The officer laughs and replies, "Yeah. You're always driving around with the top down. It's hard not to notice a Jeep that has Beach Patrol on the doors." While Paula is talking to the police officer, Kathy points out to Eddie the front license plate on the Jeep. Kathy and Eddie see a custom-made decorative airbrushed plate that says Beach Girl with coloring that matches the Jeep. Eddie whispers to Kathy, "Vinny must have made that for her." Kathy replies, "I guess it's carved in stone. She'll be the Beach Girl forever." Eddie tells Kathy, "And it looks like you're the pizza girl." The officer tells Eddie and Kathy to get home safely. He gets back in his car and drives off. Once the officer is gone, Paula mentions, "Oh wonderful. I've seen my future. I'm the Jeep girl." Kathy tells Paula, "Hey. That's better than being the pizza girl." Eddie tells Paula, "It's better to be called the Jeep girl than a whole bunch of other stuff, like the Chucky or Jimmy a crying." Paula has decided that the nickname, Jeep Girl, is not such a bad name after all. They all head back to the portal and get back to their time. They ride back to Eddie's house, where Kathy and Paula sit and talk while Eddie finishes up what he was working on. Paula, who was very stressed, is now very excited, to say the least. She tells Eddie and Kathy that she's going to start looking at ways to personalize her Jeep. Kathy gives Paula a hug and tells her, "See? Everything is going to work out just fine." Eddie asks Paula, "Hey, when does Mark get home?" Paula replies, late. Real late. He's working on a big job with his father. Kathy asks Paula, do you want to go to the pool with us? Paula replies, yeah. After today, I need to just relax. After all, if I'm going to drive around with the top down, I might as well work on my suntan. Kathy tells Paula, suntan. Have you looked in the mirror, girl? You're already darker than Johnson, and you're catching up to Braden. Paula replies, I guess it's my Italian genes. Paula heads home to get her swimsuit. Kathy informs Eddie that they are all going to the pool. Eddie finishes up on the MGB and is ready to go. Kathy asks Eddie, so, how's the MGB coming? Eddie informs her, I just finished wiring up the new gauges. Kathy reminds Eddie, it was running last weekend. What's up? Eddie explains to Kathy, nothing. It still runs. The new gauges that I added didn't have to be wired up for it to run. Kathy replies, oh, good. I'm glad it's not broken. Eddie installed gauges that indicate the engine oil temperature, differential oil temperature, and transmission oil temperature. He got the idea from Kathy's Porsche 914, which has aftermarket gauges indicating the transaxle oil temperature, engine oil temperature, exhaust gas temperature, and a separate temperature gauge for each cylinder. The inside of the MGB is beginning to look like a cockpit, but nothing like the inside of Kathy's 914. Eddie gets ready to go to the pool as Kathy takes a close look at the MGB. Kathy came prepared, just in case going to the pool was on the agenda. But, then again, Kathy is always prepared for going to the pool or beach. Paula returns from her house, and they all head to the pool. Eddie has to practice for his rematch with Tessa. Tessa swims nearly every day, and has her eyes set on the state invitational meet next year in swimming. Eddie, however, swims for cross training, not for competition. Today, Kathy and Paula will swim with Eddie. Kathy and Paula both received a track scholarship, so neither of them can afford to slack off this summer. Kathy calls it a bodyship instead of a scholarship, since she insists the school wants her for her body, and not for her mind. She is not far from the truth. 2 weeks later, the day of the big rematch between Eddie and Tessa arrives, perhaps a bit early this year. Eddie and Kathy head to the pool to meet the rest of the tribe. When they arrive at the pool, sure enough, Tessa is already there, swimming a few warm-up laps. The rest of the tribe is hanging out at the tables or in the water. Kathy notices that Lena Borg, who graduated with Kathy this year, is the lifeguard today. Kathy goes over to talk with Lena. During their conversation, Kathy tells Lena, Eddie and Tessa are here for their rematch. Do you want to race them again? Lena replies, not this year, and asks, when were they wanting to race? Kathy replies, they haven't really set a time. Lena tells Kathy, this place is going to get really crowded after lunch. Sooner would be better than later. Lena tells Kathy, if it's only two of them, I can clear one side of the pool for you. If there's six who want to race, I can close the pool down for a few minutes. Kathy tells Lena, I'll go and find out. Kathy walks back to the tables and tells Eddie, Lena says you guys should race sooner than later because it's going to get crowded after lunch. Eddie replies, I'd rather swim before lunch anyway. Kathy asks the group if anyone else wants to race. Today, there are no takers. Kathy tells Eddie, it looks like it's just you and Tessa. Tessa, who got out of the pool earlier, tells Eddie, I'm ready whenever you are. Kathy asks Eddie and Tessa, so, are you guys ready now? Eddie replies, let's go for it. Tessa replies, I'm ready. But, I'm not so sure about Eddie. Tessa probably shouldn't have said that. Her comment will just make Eddie more motivated to win. Kathy goes over to Lena, telling her, everyone is ready. We only have Eddie and Tessa swimming, so we only need two lanes. Lena tells Kathy, Okay. I'll close down three lanes. Get them warmed up and ready. Kathy goes back to the tables and tells Eddie and Tessa, get warmed up. Lena is going to close down half the pool for us. Lena blows her whistle and tells everyone in lanes 1 through 3 to move to the other side of the pool. Tessa lets Eddie have lane 2, which is the better lane. Tessa, who is very confident this year, will take lane 1, which is against the wall. Eddie and Tessa line up at the deep end, and Lena gives them the go-ahead. Tessa reminds Kathy, who will be the starter, that she is to announce take your mark, and then tell them to go. There is no set command as there is in track. Kathy asks Eddie and Tessa if they are ready, and they both indicate that they are. Kathy announces, take your marks. Eddie and Tessa are ready to dive in. Kathy then announces, go, and Eddie and Tessa dive into the water. Eddie and Tessa are fighting it out, for a lot is at stake today. Eddie has a slight lead over Tessa initially because he dove a little farther than Tessa. Tessa, however, is catching up to Eddie as they both approach the wall. Kathy walks along the side of the pool as they swim, wanting to see what happens during the flip turn. The race attracts a lot of attention, and a few spectators stand at the side of the pool to watch. After the first turn, Eddie has gained a slight advantage over Tessa. During the second lap, Tessa closes in on Eddie's lead and overtakes him halfway through the lap. At the end of the second lap, Tessa kicks off first, starting her third lap with Eddie right behind her. Eddie kicks off as if he is trying to break the concrete side wall. Eddie overtakes Tessa and is now slightly ahead. Eddie and Tessa are tied halfway through the lap, but Tessa again takes the lead. Tessa enters the final lap first. Eddie knows he is behind, so he kicks off of the wall with as much force as he can deliver. Eddie overtakes Tessa, and Tessa is well aware of it. It is now a fight to the finish. In the last few yards, Tessa overtakes Eddie. Eddie uses all the muscle he can recruit in order to catch up. Tessa touches the wall right before Eddie, winning this year's rematch. Eddie knows Tessa won and congratulates her. Tessa grins and exclaims, I beat you, buddy. Kathy announces that Tessa is the winner, but Tessa and Eddie already knew that. Tessa took Barbara's advice from last year and improved her kick during her flip turn. Tessa's work has clearly paid off. Tessa is also faster in the water this year, but so is Eddie. Tessa is stronger this year, but so is Eddie. Today's race, with a winning time of 58 seconds, goes to Tessa. There will probably be another rematch next year, perhaps sooner if the tribe gets together at the pool later this summer. Eddie and Tessa get out of the pool and walk back to the tables. Everyone congratulates Tessa, and many are surprised that she actually won. Tessa tells everyone that she would not have won if it wasn't for Eddie and the rest of the tribe. Tessa explains that, 2 years ago, Eddie and Kathy showed her how to do a flip turn. Tessa also tells everyone that she took Barbara's, and everyone else's, advice from last year, and has been working on her kick off the wall. At the tables, Eddie asks Tessa, so, what did you do to improve your flip turn? Tessa tells Eddie, I've been doing squats and, on the weekends, I run one of Mr. Fraser's drills. Then, in the pool, I swim the width and kick off the wall as hard as I can. Eddie tells Tessa, keep doing it. It's working. Kathy asks, which drill do you run? Tessa replies, the one everyone hates. Tessa's answer, the one everyone hates, is a definitive answer, and everyone knows exactly which drill she means. Tessa was referring to the drill where the sprinters sprint for 440 yards, then take a recovery lap. Once they can't sprint for 440 yards, the sprinting distance is dropped to 220 yards, then 110 yards. No one likes the drill, but to do it voluntarily attests to its efficacy. After spending the morning and afternoon at the pool, everyone decides to get pizza. Today, Eddie drove to the pool in his MGB. Everyone walks out to the parking lot to see the car they've all heard about for the last year. The top is down, so everyone gets a good look at the inside too. Brayden asks Eddie, whose car is faster, yours or Kathy's? Eddie replies, Kathy's is faster and handles better, but hers is pretty much a racing car. Tessa suggests, maybe you two should have a race. Eddie replies, Kathy's car would win, but I could probably beat her car in a 40-yard dash. Kathy asks, really? I'm not too sure about that. Eddie confidently replies, I can, and so could you. Put it on the list. We'll have a race someday and see. Eddie and Kathy will leave that competition for a future date. When they arrive at the pizzeria, Joe, as always, is glad to see them. They take a seat, and Joe comes to the table to take their order. Everyone orders pizza today, including Bobby B., who has recently been foregoing his usual high-protein meals. Since he won the gold medal in the shot put for the last 2 years at the state invitational meets, Bobby B. has been eating a lot more pizza. While they are waiting for their pizzas, Kathy asks Paula, have you heard any more about your Jeep? Paula replies, no. But I should probably check back with Angelo or Vinny on Monday afternoon when I get off of work. Kathy tells her, remind me. We can drive there before lunch. Paula replies, that sounds like a plan to me. Brayden asks Paula, so, what are you gonna get? Paula tells Brayden, I might get a Jeep CJ. I have something in the works, but it's been taking some time. Brayden exclaims, you're getting one of those. That's awesome. Everyone is suddenly interested in Paula's Jeep that she doesn't have yet. The pizzas arrive, and Paula gets out of explaining more about her Jeep. She has been waiting anxiously to find out when she will get it. Mark mentions that he is looking for a truck. Everyone asks Mark why he wants a truck. Mark explains that, after high school, he will probably follow in his father's footsteps and be a jobber. Mark already has the skills he needs, and he likes the work. Mark cannot stand to be inside all day, so any job working in an office is not for him. Mark points out that even if he changes his mind, he still would have a truck. Brayden comments, I always wanted a dune buggy. Paula asks, why a dune buggy? Brayden explains, I got a ride in one of them once. I felt like I was out in the open. I really hate to be all boxed up in a car. I even hate to be boxed up in a classroom. Now that I'm thinking about it, I hate to be boxed up anywhere. Mark replies, I can relate, bro. Paula tells Brayden, that's why I want a Jeep CJ. I hate to be in a car or inside. Brayden explains, I don't even know where to get a dune buggy. I see them all the time in the summer, but never in the winter. And I ain't seen anywhere that sells them. Eddie tells Brayden, you have to build a dune buggy, bro. They are built on a modified Volkswagen chassis. Or you can buy one that someone else has already converted. Brayden asks Eddie, how easy is it to build one? Eddie replies, it's not hard at all if you're a mechanic. I can help you with it if you want. After dinner, everyone goes their separate ways for the remainder of the evening. Eddie and Kathy go back to her house, where they sit by the pool for a while. Kathy waits for her star to appear, but she isn't looking too closely tonight. Laying on the chaise lounge with her head on Eddie's chest, her lips find his as the sun sets for the evening. Kathy's star appears in the sky, unnoticed tonight, but is faithful to appear in the same place in the sky as when Kathy first saw it. Monday, after work, Paula reminds Kathy to stop by Angelo's to get a status update on her Jeep. They drive into Angelo's and arrive while he is eating lunch. Kathy fills her gas tank while Paula goes into the office to ask Angelo if there is any news. Angelo greets Paula, saying, hey. It's the Jeep girl. You're in luck today. All excited, Paula asks, what? Tell me. Angelo tells Paula, "Vinny has some good news for you." Paula, who is now even more excited, asks, "So, I can get my Jeep now?" Angelo tells her, "Yeah. You should go over and talk to him." Paula tells Angelo, "Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going there right now." Paula runs out of the office, right past Kathy, and across the street to Vinny's. After pumping her gas, Kathy goes inside to pay Angelo. Angelo tells Kathy, "Wow. The Jeep girl was really excited. I've never seen anyone run that fast before." Kathy replies, "Yeah, she's fast. So what's up?" Angelo tells Kathy, "Vinny has the Jeep all ready for her." Kathy tells Angelo, "We were stopping by to find out if there is any news. She's been really waiting for this." Angelo tells Kathy, "From her excitement level, it looks like your next stop is the bank." Kathy replies, "I guess I'd better go chase after her." Kathy drives across the street and walks around, looking for Paula. Kathy hears Paula in the back, with Vinny. Walking up to the Jeep, Paula is very surprised. When she sees the Jeep, Paula jumps up and down and screams, "It says Beach Patrol on the side. It says Beach Patrol." Vinny painted the doors with the words Beach Patrol as Paula wanted. He also replaced the windshield and radiator. Vinny also points out to Paula the towing hooks he added to the front bumper and tells Paula that there are recovery cables in the back. Vinny explains to Paula that recovery cables are used to pull vehicles out of the sand or snow. Paula looks over the Jeep and, to her, it looks really good. Kathy also looks over the Jeep and finds the Beach Girl plate on the front bumper. Paula missed that little detail when she was looking at the towing hooks. Kathy doesn't say anything about the Beach Girl plate. She'd rather let Paula find it herself. Paula and Vinny get ready to take the Jeep for a test drive, and Kathy decides to come along. Paula drives out of the parking lot in the direction of the pizzeria. Paula decided she definitely wants the Jeep before she even shifts out of first gear. Noting the direction Paula is going, Kathy mentions, "Oh good. We're going for pizza." Paula passes the pizzeria and takes a right on a through street, which will bring her back to Vinny's. She drives back into the parking lot and parks next to Kathy's Porsche. They get out of the Jeep, and Paula asks Vinny, "Okay, now what do I do?" Vinny tells Paula, "Come inside, and we'll talk." Vinny shows Paula the invoice, which includes the cost of buying the Jeep from the insurance company. Vinny added his charges to replace the windshield and radiator, and for painting Beach Patrol on the doors. There was also a nominal fee for Vinny to have the Jeep titled. Paula is quite happy with the price. Vinny tells Paula, "Just bring me a check or cash for that amount, and you can drive it away today." Paula tells Vinny, "Okay. I'm going to the bank right now. I'll be right back." Paula and Kathy head to the bank, both forgetting that they have not had lunch yet. On the way to the bank, Paula tells Kathy, "Okay, now I'm stressed." Kathy asks, "Why?" "You're getting your Jeep. You should be happy." Paula tells Kathy, "All of this stuff about getting a driver's license and buying the Jeep is just stressful to me." Kathy asks, "Why?" Paula replies, "I don't even want to tell you." Kathy responds, "That bad, eh?" Paula replies, "No, worse." Kathy tells her, "Okay, tell me. This is going to be good." Paula tells Kathy, "You have to promise not to laugh." Kathy replies, "Okay, now I know this is really going to be good. Out with it, girl." Paula explains to Kathy, "Okay, so when I filled out my application for my learner's permit, on the line where it asked race, I put 220-yard dash. I wasn't thinking." Kathy exclaims, "No. Tell me you didn't." Paula replies, "Yeah, I did." And then, the lady behind the counter tells me, "Hun, your race is not a number or a distance, it's usually a color. I felt so stupid. After that, anything about driving and cars has stressed me out. Kathy tells Paula, well, hopefully after today, all that will change. When they return from the bank, Paula goes inside to meet Vinny. She gives him the cash. Vinny signs the title and registration, gives her a bill of sale, and makes several copies of all the paperwork. Vinny has caught on that Paula is a little bit stressed. So, he makes up a package with all the paperwork needed for the Department of Motor Vehicles and writes DMV on it. Vinny explains to Paula to take the envelope labeled DMV to the Department of Motor Vehicles, and they will take care of the rest. He tells her to keep a copy of the bill of sale, a copy of the title, and registration with her until she gets her tag. Vinny puts those documents in another envelope labeled glove box. He hands Paula her paperwork and the keys. All of that took about 10 minutes. Paula is surprised that the whole process was so easy. She has seen her parents buy cars before, and it was never this simple. Paula realized that her stressing over the situation is what made buying the Jeep so difficult. Paula and Kathy drive to get pizza since they have not yet had lunch. In the parking lot, Kathy gets out of her car and takes a closer look at Paula's Jeep. Kathy particularly stands in front of the Jeep, coaxing Paula to look at the front a little closer. Kathy wants Paula to discover the airbrushed plate on the front that says Beach Girl. Paula looks at the hood and tells Kathy, you know, the hood doesn't really look too bad. I might just leave it for a while. Kathy tells her, yeah, the bumper looks really good too. Vinny must have cleaned it up a little. Paula looks at the bumper and exclaims, wow. Beach Girl. Look what Vinny put on there. I can't believe he did that. Kathy tells Paula, it looks kind of nice. It even matches the Jeep color. Paula realizes that Vinny must have made that special, just for her. As Paula stares at Vinny's artwork, Kathy tells Paula, well, it's carved in stone. You're the Beach Girl now. After lunch, Kathy and Paula head over to Eddie's house. By now, he's done with his work and ready to do something for the rest of the afternoon. Kathy pulls into the driveway with her 914, and Paula parks right behind her with her CJ. Eddie, tinkering with his MGB again, comes to take a look. Paula tells Eddie, hey, I got it. Eddie replies, yeah, I see that, Beach Girl. Nice plate. Eddie had looked to see if the Beach Girl plate was on the front bumper, and sure enough it was. Paula tells Eddie, yeah, I guess I'm the Beach Girl and the Jeep Girl forever. I wonder if I can take that off. Eddie takes a look at the plate and tells Paula, it looks like Vinny installed it with theft-proof screws. You'd have to buy a special tool to get it off. Kathy mentions, yeah. He probably didn't want anyone to steal it from you. Paula stands tall and replies, okay, I'm the Beach Girl. You are looking at the one and only authentic Beach Girl. Paula is not likely to escape her new nickname, but the beach persona is what she wanted. It's far better than being called the four-door sedan girl. Eddie asks Paula, is Mark still working that big job with his father? Paula replies, yeah. But that job is coming to an end. He'll have more time soon. Kathy suggests, why don't we go and visit him where he's working? Paula replies, yeah. Let's do that. When you get a new vehicle, any excuse to drive anywhere will do. They take the top down, all get into the Jeep, and head a few miles away to Mark's job site. Paula thinks she knows exactly where Mark is working. She rode her bicycle there once to see him during the afternoon a week ago. Paula drives around in the area where Mark's job is, and finally finds it. They drive into the service road to the gardens where Mark and his father are building an 8-car garage to house the service vehicles. The building is almost finished. Mark has helped his father pour the slab, frame the building, install the electrical and plumbing, put on the roof, and install the garage doors. Mark and his father have been putting in 10-hour days on this project. Today, Mark and his father are laying brick. Paula honks the horn, and Mark, who is standing on some scaffolding, turns to see who drove up. Seeing Paula in the Jeep, he comes down off the scaffolding to check it out. Mark exclaims, "You got it. Awesome." Kathy tells Mark, "Hey, check out the front bumper." Mark walks around to the front of the CJ and sees the Beach Girl plate on the bumper. Mark exclaims, "Awesome." And, "Wow. You got Beach Patrol painted on the doors." Paula replies, "Yeah. And we're all going to the beach the next chance we get." Kathy suggests, "Yeah. How about this weekend?" Paula agrees, telling Kathy, "I'd really love that." Mark tells Paula, "I have 3 more days on this job. Then, I'm taking a 3-day weekend." Eddie mentions to Mark, "Well, it looks like you're getting a good workout." Mark replies, "Yeah. Tell me about it. Working out is rest compared to this job." Mark has been laying brick for the last few days, which is hard work. Mark takes a good look at the Jeep. He tells Paula, "I don't want to touch anything. I'm so dirty." Paula replies, "Good. You can jump in the ocean and wash off." Mark would love to go to the beach right now, but unfortunately, he has work to do. Paula tells Mark she'll catch up with him later, and they all drive back to Eddie's house. The weekend arrives, and Mark has finished the big job he has been working on with his father. Paula has her heart set on heading to the beach, but this time she is driving. She takes the top down, drives over to Mark's house to pick him up, then to Kathy's to pick up Eddie and Kathy. They then head down the parkway to the beach. During the drive, everyone gazes over at the concrete path 75 feet over that they've all ridden for years. They all miss riding their bicycles on the path today, but no one says anything. The trip to the beach, which takes a half hour by bicycle, has been trimmed down to 10 minutes by Jeep. Paula drives into the parking lot and instinctively drives over to where the bicycle racks are. This is where they have always locked up their bicycles, and it is now going to be Paula's favorite place to park her CJ. They get out of the Jeep, noticing that a few people are staring at them. Paula asks, "Why is everyone looking at us?" Mark replies, "Maybe it's because your Jeep says Beach Patrol on the doors." Kathy mentions, "They are probably thinking that we're the lifeguards." Paula comes back, saying, "Duh. Okay, I don't want to hear it." Kathy smiles and replies, "Hear what?" As they are getting their stuff out of the back of the Jeep, some guy in his 30s comes up and asks, "Hey, am I allowed to drive onto the beach?" Apparently, Paula's Beach Patrol logo on the doors gives the appearance that she is working in an official capacity. Eddie replies, "Not on this beach." Pointing to the east, Eddie explains to him, "You have to go down to the next parking lot, 2 miles down the road. You can drive onto the beach there. But you'd better make sure you have four-wheel drive. If you get stuck in the sand, you'd have a really big problem getting out." Eddie again points the guy in the direction of the parking lot that allows vehicle access to the beach. Eddie knows this beach well. He's been coming here for years. And Paula just learned something new. They walk onto the beach, setting their stuff in the usual place. They lay out in the sun for a while. Paula asks Eddie, "Can I drive my CJ onto the beach?" Eddie replies, "Yeah, if it's in four-wheel drive." Paula asks, "How do you put it in four-wheel drive?" Eddie replies, "It's easy. You have locking front hubs. You just turn the mechanism on the hub to lock and drive onto the sand." Paula remarks, "I'll have to do that sometime." Kathy asks, "How about later?" Paula replies, "Yeah. Maybe before we go home, if no one cares." No one objects, but after all, this group is always open to a new adventure. After a while, they go into the water and ride a few waves. Watching from the water, they see the beach begin to fill with people. Paula watches as everyone who walks by her jeep curiously stares at it. Apparently, it's official now. The beach girl is also the head of the beach patrol. After putting up a little resistance to the whole jeep girl and beach girl thing, Paula is now accepting of being the beach girl and the head of the beach patrol. Eddie watches as a few people run down the beach. As they get closer, the group becomes vaguely familiar. Out of the blue, Eddie yells out to Mark, "Hey, look what's running down the beach." Everyone takes a look, and it is none other than McCutcheon and his 4x440 relay team, along with a few other of his track buddies. Mark yells back, "I guess they want to win something this year." Embedded in the group of runners is Brad Evans, who has apparently been employed by Centerville High School as a trainer to whoop their runners into some sort of shape. Kathy asks, "Hey, where's our trainer?" Eddie reminds Kathy, "You and Paula are our trainers and assistant coaches now. Remember?" Kathy replies, "Oh, yeah. That's right. Swim. Faster. No slacking off. Get moving." Eddie lies on his back and asks, "How's this?" Paula comments, "It looks to me like you guys have a lot of work ahead of you." Eddie and Mark have just come to the realization that they may have to step up their training a little. After the state invitational meet a month ago, apparently some of the other teams have already realized they must seriously step up their game if they are to win. The group decides to get lunch and take a seat on the picnic tables near the concession stand. As they are eating, Mark expresses a silly grin that everyone notices. Paula asks Mark, "Okay, what are you thinking?" Mark replies, "I'm going to tell McCrutchen that running in the sand weakens tendons and ligaments. Then I'll tell him it's not apparent until you sprint, when it just tears." Everyone laughs, and Eddie says, "He might just believe you." Mark replies, "Of course he'll believe me." Kathy comments, "Paul McCutcheon." A few choice words from Mark, and all of McCutcheon's training goes right down the toilet. Mark corrects Kathy, explaining, "It's McCrutcheon, like in crutches." Kathy replies, "Oh, so that's why you call him McCrutcheon. So, how long has this been going on?" Mark replies, "Since 8th grade. The first time I saw him, in 7th grade, I thought he looked like an old Rock'em Sock'em robot. Right before the 100-yard dash, I asked him, 'Since when do they let Rock'em Sock'em robots run track?' I guess he never got over it. Then, the next year, we found out his name. Then, we started calling him McCrutcheon." Everyone starts laughing. Eddie was there when all this happened, but it was the first time that Kathy and Paula heard that story. After lunch, the group gets a surprise visitor. The guy who asked, earlier in the morning, about driving onto the beach, walks down the beach, looking for the beach patrol. He finds them sitting at the picnic table and tells them, "Hey, I got my car stuck in the sand. Can you guys help me out?" Everyone looks at Paula, since it's her jeep that would be pulling him out. Paula replies, "Sure. Where are you?" Pointing down the beach, the guy replies, "Down at the other parking lot." The other parking lot just happens to be 2 miles down the beach. The guy walked quite a way in the sand to get help. He could have just as easily walked along the road. Kathy asks him, "What's your name?" The guy replies, "Don." They load up their stuff, and everyone squeezes into the CJ along with Don. Eddie, Mark, and Kathy sit in the back seat, where Kathy sits on Eddie's lap. They quickly find out that, with Eddie and Mark in the back seat, there is barely enough room for two, much less three. Getting to the parking lot, they stop at the edge where it meets the sand. Eddie shows Paula how to put the jeep into four-wheel drive. Paula and Eddie drive out to the sand to Don's car. Don, Kathy, and Mark walk to Don's car, which is only 100 feet from the parking lot. Eddie gets Paula to turn around, since Eddie feels it would be better to use the trailer hitch rather than the towing hooks on the front. Paula gets the recovery straps and Eddie begins hooking them up. While Eddie is working, McCutcheon and his crew are approaching. Mark stares at McCutcheon as the runners get nearer. Mark waves, and McCutcheon decides to stop and say hi. Just maybe, McCutcheon thinks that Mark might be a little more cordial off the track. McCutcheon, stating the obvious, tells Mark, "We're training over the summer." Mark could reply with any number of sarcastic comebacks, but why let a good opportunity to confuse McCutcheon go to waste? Mark replies, "I'm not going to have much time to train this summer with this job." McCutcheon asks, "What job?" Mark points to Paula's Jeep, with the words "Beach Patrol" painted on the doors. Mark tells him, "We're in the Beach Patrol, Unit 2A. Daytime shift." Kathy finds it hard to keep a straight face and suspects a lot more is coming from Mark. Mark tells McCutcheon, "You wouldn't believe the shit that goes on out here. Shark attacks. Heat stroke. Cars getting stuck in the sand. People running in the sand barefoot, cutting their feet up. One guy had to be rushed to the hospital after running along the beach." Seeing McCutcheon and his buddies running barefoot in the sand, Mark adds, "He cut up his feet really bad, and sand got into the cut." Kathy is about to crack up, so she walks over to Eddie and Paula and tells them what Mark just told McCutcheon. After Kathy walks away, Mark continues to play mind games with McCutcheon. McCutcheon asks Mark, "What do they get cut on?" Mark replies, "Mostly glass. But it's stepping on jellyfish tentacles that's the real problem. When you step on those, your feet could swell up to 3 times their size. And then, you can't walk for a few weeks. And watch out for prickly sea spiders. If you have a run-in with one of those, they'll probably have to amputate your foot. Getting bit by a prickly sea spider will cause problems for the rest of your life." McCutcheon and his cronies take Mark's word as highly authoritative. Mark sees that Eddie is ready, so he tells McCutcheon, "It looks like I have to get back to work." Mark tells McCutcheon, "Have a nice run. And watch out for jellyfish and prickly sea spiders," as he goes back to help Eddie. McCutcheon runs down the beach and is now paranoid about all Mark told him. But since Mark is part of the beach patrol, McCutcheon, and everyone else with him, has no reason to doubt what Mark said. After all, it all makes perfect sense. Anyone can step on glass and get cut. Everyone has been told to steer clear of jellyfish. There are sharks in the water and every once in a while, someone does get bit. But to McCutcheon, this prickly sea spider that Mark speaks about sounds very dangerous. Eddie and Paula are ready to pull Don's car out of the sand. Paula drives, and Eddie sits in the passenger's seat. Eddie tells Mark to steer Don's car. Don already caused one problem by driving his four-door sedan onto the beach after being told not to. No one wants him to cause another problem, so they keep him out of the way. Kathy tells everyone in the way, or potentially in the way, to move aside. Paula drives the Jeep off the beach, towing the sedan behind her. Paula tells Eddie, "Wow. This is awesome." Eddie replies, "This is what Jeeps are made for." They get Don's sedan off the beach and unhook it. Don tells them, "I can't thank you guys enough. What do I owe you?" Paula replies, "Nothing today. But if you want to drive onto the beach, buy a four-wheel drive vehicle." Eddie explains to Don, "When your wheels spin, like they were from the looks of the holes in the sand, you're just digging yourself in deeper. The same thing happens in mud." Don learned a valuable lesson today. Hopefully he won't repeat the same mistake, because next time the beach patrol will probably be at the pizzeria or the county pool enjoying the afternoon. Paula suggests, "Maybe we should drive down the beach to make sure no one else is stuck." Kathy replies, "You just want to drive down the beach." Paula replies, "I'm busted." They all get in, and Paula drives down the beach. Paula asks Eddie, "What happens if I get stuck?" Eddie tells Paula, "Then, you take all that seaweed laying on the beach, and put it in front of all of your tires. It will prevent the sand from shifting as much. If there's no seaweed, any vegetation you can find will work. And the more vegetation you can put in front of the tires, the better. Then, when you get moving, don't stop." Paula asks, "How come you didn't tell that to Don?" Eddie replies, "Because that would be giving him a free license to get stuck again. I already told him not to go onto the beach without four-wheel drive. He did it anyway." Eddie tells everyone, "If you get stuck in the snow, doing the same thing will help. Just put whatever you can find under the tires to prevent them from spinning. Or, better yet, invest in a set of tire chains. It's the best insurance you can have to prevent getting stuck in the snow and ice." Paula mentions, "Maybe I'll get a set." Eddie replies, "That's a good idea." Paula drives down the beach for quite a way. They quickly figure out that the CJ opens up a whole new world for them. The beach in this area is mostly deserted, sparsely populated with a few people who also have four-wheel drive vehicles. A few groups of people are parked on the beach, having outings away from the business of the public beaches. Others have just stopped, finding a remote location to enjoy the calm serenity. Mark mentions, "I was going to get a truck, but this is changing my mind." Eddie tells Mark, "They make four-wheel drive trucks." Mark replies, "I'll definitely keep that in mind." The trip down the beach takes them to yet another beach a few miles down. Eddie has never ventured this far on his bicycle, so the beach is new to them all. They pull off the beach into the parking lot, get out, and take a look around. It's not too different from the beach they are accustomed to visiting, but far less populated. Kathy and Eddie look around, and there are no sand dunes like at their beach, and no concession area. This beach, however, appears to be a good place to lie around and do nothing, which is what everyone they see is doing. Paula names it the Hole in the Wall Beach, which is quite fitting. Kathy names it Nothing Beach, also quite fitting. After looking around for a while, they get back into the CJ and head back to their beach. They could take the road that parallels the coast, but if you have a Jeep, you drive along the beach, which is what they decide to do. On the way back, they cannot decide what to name the beach that they just left, so they decide on naming it Hole in the Wall Nothing Beach. They arrive back at their beach, now knowing that it is truly their beach. They go into the water one more time, then call it a day. Kathy asks Mark, "What happened with McCrutchen after we left?" After Mark fills everyone in on the details, he tells them, "I didn't want them to get in better shape, so I messed with their heads. They were getting really paranoid and checking their feet. At the meet next winter, remember today. We'll somehow use it against them." Everyone has a good laugh. Messing with McCutcheon's mind always provides a cheap and easy form of entertainment for Mark. The sad part about it is that McCutcheon falls for it every time, on the track, and now off. They all head back home, making the trip in record time.